Good morning, everyone. Nice to be back. We've got some slides coming up. Come, Holy Spirit. I don't know how you can see that picture, but it's a picture of somebody on the outside of a house looking in through the windows at a happy scene inside. And I guess there may have been times when all of us have felt a little like we're on the outside of something that's going on the inside. Maybe you felt with a section of your family or in-laws or at work or in a group of friends that you don't quite belong. You're a little bit of an outsider. Stuff's going on and you're not quite included on that. And of course, that can be very painful to have that feeling that you're an outsider, not part of the inner circle. And this morning we've heard two stories, one about Zacchaeus and one about a blind beggar that Mark tells us was called Bartimaeus. And at first sight you might think, well, you know, these two haven't got anything in common. You know, Bartimaeus is a homeless man, he's a beggar, he has nothing. And Zacchaeus is, a rich, wealthy and prominent individual. But actually, they do have quite a bit in common. In one sense, because they both have life-changing experiences with Jesus on the same day and in broadly the same place. As Jesus is entering the town of Jericho, Bartimaeus has an encounter with God and receives his sight. And as Jesus is about to leave Jericho, he spots Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus too has a life-changing encounter with Jesus. But I think there's another thing which ties these two different individuals together, and I think that is the sense of being an outsider. They're quite different, but neither of them really belong. And that day in Jericho, you know, no one has got any time or any patience for either Bartimaeus or Zacchaeus, except Jesus. Let's have the next slide. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Well, that's kind of the detail that helps to make this such a popular story and a lovely children's story too, as we heard beautifully read by Eliza. But I don't know if anything strikes you as slightly unusual about that. And that is there is a kind of level of detail and color that we don't generally get in the New Testament. So if we think about Jesus and his disciples, we don't know what any of them look like. We have no details of their physical appearance whatsoever. We don't know, you know, who was tall and who was short, who was fat, who was thin, if anybody had a birthmark or distinguishing feature or disability. The New Testament doesn't tell us all those things. And then suddenly we get a little story about Zacchaeus, and it's full of kind of little human details about a short man who couldn't see over the crowd, and so he runs ahead and climbs a tree. And you might think, well, what's all that about? And how did, Luke, who wrote this gospel, even know this stuff? And to get the answer to that, you have to look back at the beginning of Luke's gospel and talk about, you know, how Luke came to write his gospel. And he sets out to write an orderly account of all that has happened among them based on eyewitness stories that had been handed down. So Zacchaeus is like a reporter piecing together his story. And Professor Richard Baucom, who's an expert on the New Testament, has written a 700-page book about this, says, he says, if you look at the stories of Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, he says, you know, unless you kind of think they're fairy stories just made up, then they're stories that have come to us as recollections of Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus. You know, who else would have known that he'd run ahead and climbed the tree except Zacchaeus himself? Who else would have remembered what sort of tree it was except Zacchaeus who had climbed that tree? So this is, you know, we can almost hear Zacchaeus in this story. Let's have the next slide. And there's a picture of the tree. It's Ficus sycamorus, the sycamore fig tree. This is actually a picture of one in Africa. It's not the one that Zacchaeus climbed. But you can see it's a bushy tree with low branches and plenty of cover. An ideal sort of tree to climb if you wanted to see what was going on. So that's the tree. And then on, I think, really, to some of the points I want to bring out of these two beautiful stories. Let's have the next slide. First point, it is people who won't take no for an answer who have life-changing encounters with Jesus. people who won't take no for an answer who have life-changing encounters with Zacchaeus. Because we can see that particularly in the story of Bartimaeus, can't we? I just love the story of Bartimaeus, you know. There he is, and some of that is common sense, you know, he's on the outskirts of Jericho, he can hear there's a crowd about, and he can hear somebody is approaching, and he asks who it is, and they said, oh, well, you know, Jesus is coming. So he starts shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And as I said, you know, the crowd have got no time for him, and they're quickly telling him to shut up. And in response to that, he just shouts all the louder. You know, he makes a scene so that Jesus won't go past, so that Jesus will stop and come and attend to him. And I think that is just so fantastic and such an example for all of us. You know, our whole culture, day in and day out, is telling us to turn the volume down on all this Jesus business. And our job is to turn it up again and to, you know, to get in touch with your inner Bartimaeus and start shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me today, to make a fuss and so that we see the kingdom of God in all its fullness. And, you know, there's something similar actually with Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus turns up and he wants to see Jesus and there's a big crowd and so, you know, he's kind of thwarted at the first hurdle. And it'd be easy at that point to think, oh, well, you know, it's not my day. I'll just go home. Maybe there'll be another chance. But Zacchaeus doesn't do that. He kind of runs ahead and climbs a tree. And as he in doing that, he does two things which important people in the Middle East do not do. He runs and he climbs a tree. There's an expert called Kenneth Bailey who's written a number of studies about Middle Eastern culture in the context of the Bible. And he actually tells a story. It's a story from the 1960s, during the time that Abdel Nasser was president of Egypt. And Nasser had heard a story that the American ambassador to Egypt at the time had actually climbed a tree in the ambassador's garden in order to fix up some party lights. And Nasser thought this was such a strange story. He actually approached the ambassador to ask him if there was any truth in the story. And isn't that because, you see, in the Middle East, prominent, powerful people do not run and they do not climb trees. But this was important to Zacchaeus, so he did things that were kind of counterculture in order that he would have an encounter with Jesus. Next slide. And here I've got a quote from C.S. Lewis that there's a surprise. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. I think that's true. We're too easily pleased. We settle for too little of our experience of God. And, you know, we need to kind of listen to Bartimaeus and to Zacchaeus and to not to take no for an answer. Next point. Point two, Jesus puts people on the spot. You know, he does that with Bartimaeus. You know, he insists that Bartimaeus is brought out. The very people, there's an irony in that, actually. People are telling Bartimaeus to shut up. You know, we're not interested in you, just shut up. And Jesus says, you lot, actually, he's the one I want to see. Bring him out, you know. So he kind of reverses who's important in this story. Brings out Bartimaeus, and he says to him, what do you want me to do for you? And in that moment, you know, Bartimaeus has got a choice. He can say, can I have your autograph? Or he can say, will you heal me? Give me my sight. There's a challenge of faith there. And he has to decide at that moment, which is he going to go for here? And he goes, he takes the route of faith. And similarly, you know, when Zacchaeus is spotted up a tree, Jesus says to him quite urgently, Zacchaeus, come down now. I need to stay at your house today. And in that moment, you know, Zacchaeus can either respond with faith and say, oh, yeah, that's great, I'm on, or he can back off, you know. And Jesus is not a take me or leave me kind of guy. He's not saying, you know, well, it's all right to say, I'll get back to you. You know, I need to think about this. I'll get back to you later. No. You know, when we hear the word of God, you know, we have to respond one way or the other. We're at a crossroads. And either we're taking the path of faith or we're taking the path of unbelief. That's what's going on here. Point three. Next slide, please. Jesus stops what he's doing and changes his plans for one individual. Notice at the beginning of Luke chapter 9, it says, Jesus has entered Jericho and is passing through. In fact, of course, you put this in the wider narrative at the time. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he's going to Jerusalem for the last time. He knows that he will be crucified in Jerusalem. So he's got this big mission. He's headed to Jerusalem. He's not planning to stop over in Jericho. You know, doubtless there are plenty of important people in Jericho that day who would be very happy if the celebrity preacher would stay the night at their house. But that's not part of the plan. Jesus is passing through. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And then he sees Zacchaeus, and suddenly the plan has changed, and he says, can I come and stay the night with you? That, how important is an individual to Jesus Christ? It's his focus on. He's seeing the individual. He's responding to the need of the individual. Next slide. Jesus will offend the righteous in order to reach out to just one person on the outside. Let me say that again. Jesus will offend the righteous in order to reach out to just one person on the outside. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus tells a story, and it's one you're probably very familiar with, about a shepherd with 100 sheep, and one of the sheep gets lost, and so he leaves the 99 sheep and goes and looks for the one sheep that has been lost. And in this story, we find out that the 99 sheep think that was a really bad decision. That's what's going on here. You know, the crowd is deeply offended by what's going on. But Jesus is prepared to offend them to find one person who is on the outside. And again, you know, it's the focus on the individual, the person who is lost. You know, Jesus said there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people. And he really meant it. He really meant it. Next slide. Jesus takes the blame. It's interesting, you know, as we learned earlier, Zacchaeus would have been a hated and despised person because he's a collaborator with the Roman occupying force. And if the Romans are ever driven out of Israel, then Zacchaeus will probably be strung up from a tree, because that's what happens to collaborators. So he's a disliked person. But Jesus takes the blame. You know, when Jesus says, I'm going to come and stay at your house tonight, Zacchaeus, we read, and it's worth following it in a good translation, and the crowd start grumbling about what's happening. But actually, they're not grumbling about Zacchaeus. They're grumbling about Jesus. They're grumbling about Jesus. He's gone to stay the night at a home of a notorious sinner. So Jesus has taken the blame that was directed at Zacchaeus and turned it onto himself. Jesus takes the blame. And you know, that's what Christianity is all about. You know, and Isaiah 53 at verse 4, you know, Jesus took the suffering that should have been ours. And when we hear voices of accusation, whether those are, you know, inner voices of our own conscience or from our own minds, or that an outer voice of somebody else bringing accusation against us, remember this: Jesus takes the blame. Jesus takes the blame. That's what Christianity is all about. Jesus takes the blame. Next one. Jesus is also making a point which we as church need to get hold of. You know, whenever you think, well, you know, Jesus was prepared to risk offending the whole crowd in order to reach out to one lost individual. And I think that's true up to a point. But I think you can actually take it further. You know, Jesus is rubbing their noses in it. And he's rubbing our noses in it too. You know, he's making a point out of this. He's making a point out of the fact that he will go to Zacchaeus and stay in Zacchaeus's house. He is taking the outsider and saying, you know, that's where God belongs. That's who God is reaching out to. And, you know, we need to let that change the way that we think about other people. Who is the outsider? Who do I know who's the outsider? Who can I be Jesus to? We absolutely need to get hold of this. My seventh point. If the word of God does not change us, He says, because we have rejected it. And let me say it again. If the word of God does not change us, it is because we have rejected it. I can't apologize. I know it's tough. I can't apologize for that. You know, I think it's just true. I think it's just true. It's seriously challenging, but it's true. And I think, you know, we need today and every day to say yes to God and yes to the changes that God wants to work in us, to the people that God wants to make us, because we're faced with that choice day in, day out. Today, if you hear his voice, today let's respond to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your word when it cuts us. And Father, we pray that we would receive your word and that it would bear fruit in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, do your work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.